Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Oh, hi, guys.
So the last time that Andy and I recorded together was in June. And a couple of things have happened since then. Andy, you are now you are a dad of a second child, a feminine child.
Yes,
you're a proud father.
We had a daughter. As many people know, Nevada is a blue state now. So we had the baby, and then the doctor came out and handed us the form and asked if we'd like to execute the child.
Do you want an abortion
we,
now?
We obviously checked the box that said no thank you, and we kept the baby. And now we have
very conservative view. Very conservative.
Yeah. So thank you very much to Brad Kornacki for subbing in these last couple weeks. But yes, we have a boy and a girl now. We have our little hot dog prince and a little hot dog princess as well.
Hot dog prince and princess. I like that idea. I like that. That's good. So yeah. And in like weird news, I have a kid. So that's true. That's not a lie. My wife and I just adopted a daughter. So it just so happened that this is all like this has been going on for a number of weeks behind the scenes. But
it was still pretty quick though, right?
You're just
like,
super fast.
Hey, I got a baby too, guys.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. I'm doing it to one up everybody. Right.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's been the joke. And I'm like, yes, I love not sleeping. It's awesome. Joke is great. No,
because you have been, and most people realize you're joking, but because you have been such an insufferable prick with the, oh, I can sleep in as much as I want right. and go do whatever I want while you stupid fathers have to take care of your children.
I am a bunch of idiots.
More than happy to see you suffering finally.
Suffer alongside you. That's hilarious. I mean, it's true. It's a big facts, as the kids would say.
Yeah. So no, but it did seemingly come out of nowhere. Where
it
was like,
it did. Hey. I mean, it literally did.
Like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
You guys want a kid, right? Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, people who've been listening to the network for a number of years know that like my wife and I tried to have kids like for years. And so, I mean, we'd always assume like some kid would end up in our lives at some point because my wife works in education. And we just thought maybe it'd be like a 12-year-old, not a 12-day-old.
Well, you've talked about that before, about like maybe wanting to get into the foster care system or something like that. But
yeah,
this is a little bit different.
But, yeah, it is.
Still awesome.
Yeah. So we have a little daughter. So she's 6 weeks old now, which is wild. Like it's crazy to think about. So if you thought I was fired up about child separation last time, see, because I couldn't mention any of that publicly when I was like pretty pissed about it last week, but that was, that was why, like, it was why it was making me real fucking mad, and it should make anybody mad. But I think, you know, obviously when you have kids, it makes you feel even a different way about it. So yeah,
you just don't understand now. You know, now that I'm a father,
right? Yeah, I get to use the line like, if you're not a parent, you just have idea.
You just don't understand. You can't comprehend what it's like.
It's one of the most asshole things people with kids say, and I plan on using it all the time. It sounds great.
Yeah,
it's a great excuse.
What's got to be wild though is because like, you know, so like in our case, we're like, we've got 9 months to be like, okay, this goes there.
Yeah, you have a 9-month on
go with that, right? Let people know, oh, we're probably gonna need this. And for you, it's just like, here's a baby. Fuck, dude.
Yeah, no, that first night, not to talk baby talk this whole time, but that first night was really fucking hard. We're just like ripping the box open with diapers in it, just like, just get it open. She's shitting everywhere, you know. You know, like,
how do these work?
Like, the kid's broken, right? So like, we didn't we weren't like prepared in that way. So that first night was really fucking hard, but like then, you know, we, you know, got a little station together and went to Target and spent, you know, oodles of money to get all the other extra shit that we didn't think we needed that we did need. And then the second night was like pretty good, like in comparison, like it was light years better. So yeah, I feel like you just need a system. It doesn't make it easy. It's not easy. It's fucking the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but it certainly makes it easy when you have a little bit more of a system.
Yeah. What was kind of easier for us, and not that it's easy, but it ended up making things a little easier, is because my son was an emergency C-section, and so my daughter had to be a scheduled C-section. So you have to stay in the hospital for 3 days instead of, I guess, one for a standard delivery.
Right.
So you can really just ask medical professionals questions for 3 days.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Like, for me, like, I mean, I had a son, and daughters have different parts, and like, you know,
vagina.
You know, not to be crass, but anybody can clean shit off of balls. That's not even hard.
No, that's
like,
pretty easy.
It's like, well, how do these girl parts work?
Yeah, it's way, as I told my mom the other day, I was like, you guys are way more complex down there. Like, very confusing. Oh, can't wipe the same way? Well, okay, shit. yeah, so it was just, it's, I don't know, it's, I'm finding it to be, I'm finding it to be fascinating, and like, it's mentally changing me in a lot of ways, which is curious. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, no, to say I'm loving it is a massive understatement, I think.
No, I mean, there, you know, people talk about that new baby smell, but that is a, you know, the actual,
no, that's
like
a real
the
thing,
pheromones.
Dude.
Yeah, the pheromones a child releases that just make, I will protect this child with my life. You know,
yeah. No, that's true. It's true.
And then, yeah, it's true. Like, it makes you super emotional about everything while you're holding a baby. Whatever voodoo magic is coming out of those kids.
Yeah, yeah, just... yeah, absolutely. They need to put that as a, like, one of those, like, car scents at like, a car wash. Like, new car, new baby. Like,
yeah, pretty much. I remember when I was holding... I was holding Hank when he was a newborn. And I was watching, like, one of the NXT takeovers. And, like, Bayley finally won the NXT Women's Championship, right? And she's crying, and I'm sitting there on the couch crying. I'm like, what are you doing to me, baby? Yeah. I'm crying at wrestling because
this
of you.
This is such an emotional moment for me.
And she worked so hard for so long and finally won. Like, what the fuck is happening to me?
Yeah. You're an emotion. This is why, like, dudes, like, then they flip out. Or they're like, no, I can't feel emotion. I need a baby swaddle carrier that's made like a flak jacket or whatever dumb fuck shit I found the other day. Jesus Christ. I'll have to talk about that on TMP. This is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we had the dads of us in the group had a little chat going about, like, baby carriers, and they do have, it looks like a bulletproof flak jacket.
It's like, why are they...
How insecure are you, dude? Like,
how small is your dick? It is minuscule. I'll hold my baby, but I ain't no queer. All right, relax. Like, it's fine.
You know, I got a girl now. All the shit's, you know, baby. Half the stuff we have is Minnie Mouse on it. I don't care. I'll carry it around. It's not like people go, pff, pff, queer. Obviously, it's for the baby.
Is it? Are you buying tampons for your wife or for your own ass, bro?
Right, yeah. That's why I never get that. Oh, I won't buy tampons. Wait, why?
Like, who gives a fuck? It's stupid.
The cashier will obviously go, oh, okay, so clearly you have a wife or a daughter. Like
no. I use these tampons to shove them up my candy ass as some wrestler would probably yell at me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what even is the purpose for those that you would misunderstand? Like,
do they think, like, gay dudes just, like, tape tampons to their penis? Dude, just to walk around?
I remember one time I went to a grocery store and was picking up literally, like, it was, like, tampons, a bottle of wine, and, like, a pint of Ben & Jerry's. And and the cashier is like, hey, you're really good. Husband. Like, she just, I mean, she put the math together, was wearing my wedding ring. She's like, hey, that's cool of you. I'm like, oh yeah, no, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that's really funny. Like,
this
Hey, you might as well have also had like a box of Midol to really round it out.
Just whatever. Yeah. Just this is all to. Yeah. Just there's problems her. In my house. I'm gonna try to fix this.
Duct tape, Midol, tampons. Something's gotta work. All right. I think that's we're 10 minutes in. I think that's enough of husband, baby, father hour for to look forward this week. But we'll try to sprinkle
some. For some reason, people give a fuck about us.
I don't get it. I barely care.
Well, babies are politics now.
So yeah, they are. So, yeah. Like, I do realize, though, like, I feel very emotional about things like children. Like, just, you know, they're children. Like, can we all come together on that? But no.
Yeah, because it's not like you were just, like, absent from children. You've always had, you know, you've had like nieces.
Yeah, tons of nieces and nephews. Right.
And god children and whatnot.
Right. Nah, this yeah. Ugh. Yikes. But we'll talk about it. All right, let's get right into it. Probably a little bit shorter of a show this week, but who knows. Let's jump right in. Tom Steyer.
I imagine somebody listening that looking at the runtime going, really?
Okay. 2.5 hours. Yeah, you fucking. So that was a fucking lie. When we're recording, we're only at 11 minutes and 30 seconds, so we have no idea. So Tom Steyer, known billionaire, hedge fund, playboy philanthropist, has decided that he's going to enter the Democratic primary because we lost Eric Swalwell, and he was like, ooh, is there a spot open up? Does anybody want more mayonnaise? I'm here. And so he decided to jump in the race.
You guys last week had talked about Swalwell, you know, the rumors that he was leaving. He officially did on Tuesday. And then we're like, all right, cool. Maybe more people will leave. And then later that day, Steyer's like, ah, me too. I can't think of anything better to spend $100 million on. Like, god damn it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this. Well, is Tom Steyer a threat?
No.
Okay. I don't think so either. just curious.
No, and you know, I said that half joking, but is there seriously not anything better you can think of to spend $100 million on if you're going to dump $100 million into an election?
I could do so much more with that money. Like, so much more.
Yeah. Down ballot races, you know, supporting the eventual nominee. Like, if you actually care about beating Donald Trump and, you know, beating back Republicans, you could do so much with that money.
Right, exactly.
Like, $1 million could turn the tide of a House race easily.
Oh, 100.
And you could do that with 100 of them.
Here's the thing. Put some money into some of those Senate races. You want to see things really change? Get the Senate back. You're going to keep the House.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to lose the House. But
dump a bunch of money
races.
On dump a bunch of money on that woman that's running against McConnell.
Yeah,
like that would do wonders.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Yeah, but spending $100 billion on yourself to lose a primary is so unbelievably stupid.
Right. Yeah, but you know you cannot fix stupid. You cannot. So Steyer's getting in. I saw a thing on Fox News where they were saying that Steyer is the biggest, he's the biggest threat to Joe Biden's lead. I find that to be hilarious.
You know the biggest threat to Joe Biden?
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden, yeah.
Joe Biden next to a microphone? Like, 100%. I mean, there was an NBC poll that came out earlier this week, or excuse me, earlier last week or late last week, and it had Biden still in first, but only in first by like 5 or 6 points, and then it had Elizabeth Warren at number 2, Kamala Harris tied with Bernie Sanders at 3. So, no, I don't think Tom Steyer is going to jump in here as a venture capitalist or you know, hedge fund manager rather, and just like burn up the charts. One, average voters don't know who the fuck Tom Steyer is. Right? He doesn't come in with any like massive political name recognition. the field, you know, right, like, now is being dominated by populists and Joe Biden.
And the only thing that Tom Steyer, that I know him for, is that he's been running ads for, to try to convince people to impeach Trump.
Right.
And like, they're running it in districts where they think he would find, you know, politicians sympathetic and try to get people to call their, you know, call their local representative and say, hey, we should impeach.
Right.
And that's pretty much as far as like his outward political activity, but
that's not enough.
Read the fucking room, guy. Like the people who are there, there is no poll that doesn't have Warren and Sanders in the top five ever.
Right. I would even,
and you're gonna come
I mean,
in,
I would argue basically even as, top three, but Bernie has dropped to fourth in some, a
right.
few of them.
But okay, so top four probably, but the, it's those two with big critiques of modern day capitalism, and you're going to come in as a venture capitalist and be like, "Hey guys, you know, I'm a
do you like money?" I mean, but there's also
what about a nice billionaire?
Right, like that argument to me is rather poor, and it's also really telling that not only does Steyer not get why people don't like Trump, right? Because I'm sure he thinks, well, I'm a good billionaire, right? So people like having a billionaire, and then they just got a really shitty one. But that's not really it. It's also fundamentally, one, Trump is incompetent, but it's the idea of the rich running things. Now, people thought that would be really great when they voted in 2016 for Trump, but I think people have really realized quite a lot that having someone who's that loaded makes for a person who doesn't really give a shit about the common man. I think a lot of people are finally picking that up, which should have been much more obvious, I think, early on. But look, as long as you got the message, you got the message. And I don't think Tom Steyer is going to suddenly come in and like change that narrative.
No, and that shit only really works in the Republican Party, where they've been beating everybody over the head with billionaires good.
Yeah, that's not a thing here.
That's not you. I mean, you'll get some. I'm not saying he won't, you know, maybe climb to like 4 or 5%. He might qualify for a debate or something, but no, he's not a threat to anybody other than those bottom tier people.
Right. Yeah. Look out, Andrew Yang. Like,
yeah, you're in trouble, Tim Ryan.
Yeah. Hey, Seth Moulton, slide over for a second. But I just don't understand the point of this. And like you said, he's got $100 million that he's likely to spend of his money. For what?
Yeah, that's what he pledged to spend $100 million of his own money on this. And
I don't understand why he doesn't run as an independent at that point. I don't want him to, but I don't understand why you wouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to spend $100 million, you might as well go directly to the show for $100 million.
No, but there's one thing he understands more than Howard Schultz.
Being a spoiler?
Yeah, he understands, because his whole thing is the importance of getting Trump out, right?
Right.
But he's also narcissistic enough to think he's the one to do it.
Yeah, he's
not. If you're going to dump like you said, Senate races, find a candidate to back that you can dump a bunch of money in. I would put a bunch of money into that Bill Weld, the guy who's running.
Yeah, you goddamn right.
Primary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would dump money into that.
That, like, now, again, I'm often shocked at the lack of creativity by people with extraordinary money. Like, that's the petty move, dude. If you're gonna look, you're a billionaire. $100 million ain't no money to you. Or look, you don't have to spend $100 million on Bill Weld. Spend $20 million. And just make Donald Trump, like, life a living hell. Using Bill Well, fly Bill Well wherever Trump is, be a fucking pain in his tiny, tiny little dick all over the country.
No, you don't even have to spend that much money, but you can make Bill Weld into a problem for Trump in the first primary, you know, the first caucus in Iowa. You can dump a bunch of money into Bill Weld ads in Iowa and make sure that Bill Weld has giant, because the thing, if Trump had a genuine primary challenger in Iowa, he might not do too well, because those people got pretty fucked over by the tariffs. So if you could make it so that the sitting president loses the Iowa caucus, that'd be pretty big.
Yeah. And it, look, it doesn't have to do any damage. It doesn't have to do any damage as far as Trump, like, winning the nomination. He's going to win the nomination. Like, that's not the question. But if you can build enough of a narrative that even Bill Weld beat him in one of these, one or two of these states, you can start to shake confidence in some people. And that's could be a problem.
Iowa is the place to do it, and because it's the first one for one, and yeah, that's where they always go to talk to the farmers. Oh, what happened? Well, I lost all my money and my soybeans, and you know all that. I used to sell pork bellies to China, and now I can't. And yeah, that'd be the place to hit is Iowa, and especially for these, you know, more centrist type rich guys who have been pushing the narrative that like the Republicans aren't bad traditionally, and that. That Trump is an anathema and there are good Republicans.
Right.
Dump your money on Bill Weld if that's what you actually believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let Bill Weld get out there and make an argument for the Republican Party as a normal group.
Yeah. Or run in the Republican primary.
They lack the level of. How do they get all this money and not have fucking Dr. Doom level plans? If I had $1 billion, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to just sit on my laurels. I'm going to fuck with people I don't like. Like, in the words of the guy from Billions, what's the point of having fuck you money if you can't every once in a while say fuck you? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, oh, I've got $1 billion. I'm going to go live on my island quietly. Nah, fuck that. I got $1 billion. Let's have some fun. Yeah. Guess what? I'm running in the Republican Party. I'm hosting those fucking feel better rallies. I'm doing the whole thing. Look, he's doing Make America Great with red hats. I'm doing America's Already Great in green hats. I'm doing I would fuck with him so bad. I would make my logo have Toad from fucking Nintendo. Like, fuck it, just do whatever you want. Billionaire.
I just thought of it. I thought of the billionaire that we need. Who would do this?
Who's
Mark Cuban?
Yes. Yeah, he's a petty asshole.
Mark Cuban. He's petty. He's rich. He's basically a Republican.
Yeah, he definitely is. 100%. But he's got a little bit of moral compass, I think. A little bit.
Just to run on, like, I'm a better businessman. I'm a real billionaire. Yeah. Like, just walk out there, step one, release your taxes.
Boom.
Yeah, look at that. I'm a real billionaire. How about you, Don?
Like, look. Like, Mark Cuban 2020, debate me, you coward. I would.
Mark Cuban in the Republican primary. That would be the way to go. Because he had talked about the Democratic primary.
Yeah, that's not the move.
Cuban as a Republican?
Yeah,
that'd work.
Yeah, no, it would.
And he's charismatic enough, too.
Yeah, like, he might take a state or two, man.
That's the worst part about Stiers. He's fucking boring.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. Like, if you're Mark Cuban or you're one of these, like, if you're, like, a petty dickhead billionaire, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. I have so many plans. I also would, like, I'd go to the Access Hollywood people. I'd be like, yeah, you got that tape, right, where he says the N-word? Yeah. How much you want for it? I'd buy it. Why not? Oh, well, he said he's going to sue us for $10 million. All right. Don't worry about it. I got you. I got you. Like, release it. I'll pay whatever the legal fees are. I got you. No problem.
Do you think?
I would.
I know this is kind of a long shot, but do you think that being the guy who finally brought an NBA championship to the Dallas Mavericks would be enough goodwill for Mark Cuban to win Texas in a Republican primary?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's a lot of Mavericks fans.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I'm just saying, like, Tom Steyer, you're using your money wrong, dude. Like, he's like a big environmentalist, too. Why don't you put your money towards that? The fuck are you spending $100 million on this bullshit for?
Yeah, go dump your money on Jay Inslee or something. Like,
Throw your money. Throw your money on somebody who actually could do some damage. Now, I still think Jay Inslee is a waste of money because Jay Inslee is not going to win. But I would say put your money in, you know, helping more people who give a fuck about the environment, things like that. Do that. Throw $100 million or $30 million to the ACLU. Do something that's gonna that's gonna put boots to asses against the Trump administration. That's what makes sense.
There's value in helping keep Jay Inslee's campaign alive for a while, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Him staying in those debates and pushing the conversation towards the environment and climate change is helpful if that's a message you care about.
Right.
And yeah, I think you said here last week that Jay Inslee is totally going to be part of the next Democratic administration.
Oh, 100%.
As the head of the EPA or, Department of Interior or something.
But, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If I'm president, Jay Inslee is the person you pick. He clearly gives a shit, and he would be a guy who would be, I don't want to say vicious in a mean or negative way, but he would be vicious about getting shit done because he truly cares about the topic. You don't put somebody there who is just kind of lackadaisical on it. I guess climate's kind of important. No, you want a pit bull. You want somebody who really super cares about it. And considering that Jay Inslee's entire campaign is being run on that topic and almost that topic exclusively tells me it's pretty important to him. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, man, Tom Steyer, go sit your ass down. Just go sit down somewhere. Knocking the fuck off.
Yeah, him, Howard Schultz, they're you guys are fucking boring.
Yeah. Well, Schultz, he owned gold himself, right? He's out because he got a tummy ache or something. I don't know. He was not feeling well or something. Which to me, I'm not even sure I buy that, but I think it's more this is not working, and I'm really not trying to spend $1 billion of my coffee money on this shit. Yeah, he couldn't make any traction, and that threat didn't work. You better not put progressives up there. Better not run Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. And they were like, "No, we're gonna run, dog." And he was like, "Damn, they ain't listen." And then what are you gonna do? You can't force people to vote for you. And then I can tell you right now, they'll come in and they'll burn your mansion to the ground if you're the spoiler that causes Trump a second term. They'll burn that fucking place to the ground. So if you want to tarnish your name and probably your company that you don't even run anymore and fuck your business up forever, I would go sit down.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of Starbucks anymore, and Starbucks took a hit because every Christmas when conservatives say I'm boycotting Starbucks and they see no change in their bottom line.
Right.
Liberals going, well, fuck Starbucks then. That actually, they probably noticed that.
Yeah.
Shit, Howard, knock it off.
You're sick. Just, you got a cough or whatever. Just get out there and tell them you're not doing this. The stocks are plummeting.
Yeah, again, don't do it as a threat. Dump money in the campaign of the person you like. If you think a more centrist candidate is better, then go donate money to Amy Klobuchar or whatever.
Yeah. Again, seems very silly to me.
Yeah, whatever it is, there's no reason that somebody needs to fix this country, and it's gotta be me.
Yeah,
you seriously, whatever your views are, you can't find one in the 25 fucking people that are out there right now.
No, because it's a level of just pure arrogance.
I guess.
Yeah. I alone can fix this. I mean, it's the same mentality, right?
I don't think you can become a billionaire without being a total narcissist, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, crush your enemies. See them driven before you. Hear the lamentation of their bank accounts.
that's why the good billionaire narrative is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There isn't a good billionaire. There isn't one. There was one. There was one.
Who?
There was only one. Jed Clampett.
Jed Clampett. Yeah, well, there you go. And that guy was a hillbilly. he didn't even live, that guy didn't even eat caviar. Get out of here. What does he know? All right, let's talk about your boy. That's right, your boy.
My boy.
Alexander Acosta.
Why the fuck is he my boy?
Well, it's either Alexander Acosta's your boy or Jeffrey Epstein's your boy. You take a pick. Which one you want.
No. Why?
These are both terrible options. So Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, secret twin brother to Jim Acosta from CNN, It's not true. That's not true at all, actually. He's a labor secretary. He stepped down because he decided to do a press conference where he defended giving a no prosecution agreement to known pedophile billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. Another good billionaire narrative gone asunder. So I
don't know that anybody ever thought Jeffrey Epstein was a good billionaire.
The president did. He said he was a good guy.
This
guy rocks.
He likes, some people say he enjoys young women as much as I do.
That quote does not age well. This guy fucks kids.
He likes them a bit on the younger side, but Jesus Christ, dude.
Shut up. Shut up.
Please, he always says talking. The quiet part loud, and that's pretty much it. But me and Jeff got together to fuck kids. Good times.
And by kids, I mean women in their 40s? No, that's not what you meant. No one believes you.
The other fun thing that's got up about that, because there's people talking about, Bill Clinton knew Jeffrey Epstein, and he rode on Jeffrey Epstein's plane.
The Lolita Express.
The Clinton folks found the manifest, and like, here's every ride that Bill Clinton ever took on a plane with Jeffrey Epstein and where they were going. Yeah. Like, he rode 4 times. This was to a charity event in Europe. He never went to an island, for the love of God.
He wasn't fucking kids.
Here's every bit of information.
Yeah, they're like, nah, don't start that narrative. And look, here's the thing. Yeah. Maybe there were chicks on the plane and he was getting his pickle tickled while he was there. I don't know. All I know is, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's a creepy dude and you should be nowhere near that guy. Nowhere near him. Of course not. And look, even if he didn't do anything, you had to have a thought that, like, you know, this dude is rolling around with a lot of young ass girls, man. Maybe Jeff isn't the guy I'm hanging out with. Like, look, at a minimum.
Nobody ever accused Bill Clinton of having stellar judgment.
No.
But of all the things that he's been associated with and accused of, I don't really see Bill Clinton as a guy that's messing around with kids.
So here's the thing. I could
totally be wrong, but that's just, I never got that impression. Right. I think he's got a type. And that type is like, you know, a thick 21 to 25 year old.
Right. Like, he's more into the, you know, thicker 20 year old gals.
Yeah. He likes a thicker milkshake, Bill Clinton. And
I get it.
Yeah. He's, every single one of them had that same hairstyle too. Every woman he ever, like, you know, came on to or had an affair
right
with,
like, he has a definitive type, dude. He does. So here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing with like the idea.
But I would honestly be super surprised if he ever caught Bill Clinton, you know, with doing anything with kids. But I'm not discounting anything, because
this whole thing is fucked up.
But he, you know, Bill Clinton is a rich guy, and as we've gone into, rich people are scumbags. So I would not honestly be surprised by anything. But
right.
But I just. I don't really see that out of old Bill Clinton. He's a skirt chasing ass grabber for sure. And
of
possibly
age.
Worse. But yeah, I don't really see him do anything with kids. Granted, horrible person, and definitely 100% should have left the presidency in 1998.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
But putting that on the record, Bill Clinton should have stepped down in the midst of all that bullshit, and let Al Gore roll into 2000 as the incumbent.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. No, but here's the thing about Bill, like, pedophilia.
Bill Clinton's dick got us into the Iraq War, is what I'm saying.
No, that's fair. That's a fair assessment, actually. But, like, here's the thing with pedophilia. Pedophilia isn't, like, that's a weird segue.
Wow.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Hell of a way to start a sentence.
Yeah. How the rest of this sentence going to go? But here's the thing about pedophilia. Pedophilia isn't like, hey, I'm into blonde chicks, and then, like, occasionally I like to dip my toe into the world of, like, brunettes. Like, pedophilia is a mental disorder. Like, you're either in that world or you're not in that world, right? Like, I don't see the whole idea of, like, oh, no, I like to date date and fuck like women of age, but like every so often when the mood strikes me, I really like to hook up with a 13-year-old. Like, that's not how that works. That's why they found, and we're going to talk more about Jeffrey Epstein this week. Like, that's why they found tons and tons of kiddie porn or young women, underage women pornography at his mansion. Cause that's what he's, that's his thing, dude. Like, you don't, you don't just like, oh, I just turned that one off and then I turn it back on once a year. Like, nah, yo, like you are into that 100%. So the idea of Bill Clinton being involved is strange. Now you could say, well, you know, people think that Trump is involved and he's with, you know, older women. But is he though? Because he seems to have a real affinity, like a weird affinity for his very young, his daughter when she was younger, which was very weird. He's also been known to peep in on, like in those pageants, the like the junior girl pageants. He would go into the dressing room,
Miss Teen USA, which they always talked about him coming back into the pageant while everybody's changing.
Right, and
those are like 15, 16, 17 year old girls.
Right. So I'm just saying
that. Yeah, I don't think he's doing anything with like young kids, but he's got a teen thing.
Yeah, he's definitely got a teen thing. So. Is it possible that he rolls in that same world? It's possible. And look, I am not willing to say, because look, as much as I hate Trump, and I do, please feel free to go listen to like 168 episodes of this show. I absolutely hate his fucking guts. That being said, yo, that's a hard charge to put on somebody, man. And you better be right when you do it. Like, it's not one of those things you should take flippantly. Like, oh, he's definitely it. Can I 100% see him doing it? Yep, yeah, 100%. But I'm not going to go out there and say that he definitely did it. We got to get more evidence. Now, mind you,
there are people hard evidence.
Yeah, people have come out and said that he has.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's had lots of allegations around him, for sure. But if hard evidence shows up tomorrow that Bill Clinton was involved in this shit, I am fully 100% prepared to toss his hick ass face first underneath the bus.
Yeah, no,
I don't
absolutely
give a fuck about Bill Clinton. Yeah. It's fun to see all the Republican types like, oh yeah, but you guys have to defend Bill Clinton.
Do we though?
Because I don't like. I have to remind boomers about this all the time. No one under 40 was old enough to vote for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is that guy who was president when we were kids and things seemed to be going all right. Yeah. Our parents, if our parents are Democrats, mine were not. I kind of like Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
I guess. He's a guy that's around. I don't have like a connection that, but they don't understand that we don't have this cult-like affinity towards our you know, our politicians.
Right. It's, I don't know. It seems very odd to me that they can't understand a situation of like, nah, we could just toss that dude like immediately. I don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
Yeah, like
he ain't my daddy. Fuck out of here.
Exactly. What's he done for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the willingness that we have, and it's, I don't know if it, I feel like it makes us better people, but the willingness.
No, it does.
Toss,
no, it does.
Okay,
no, we don't throw kids in fucking cages and separate them from their fucking parents on purpose just to be cruel. And we don't defend pedophiles. No, it makes you a better person.
Or even, you know, like nobody was a bigger fan of Al Franken than, you know, than me and Jay. We were both guys that bought his books, thought that guy was great.
Yeah.
When you got eight sexual assault charges against you, you gotta go, dude.
No, you gotta bounce. You gotta go.
Yeah, they just can't do that for some reason. But yeah, if you know my favorite president in my lifetime, if something horrible, like legit, came out, like with actual evidence about Barack Obama, you gotta go, dude.
Yeah, no, I would be devastated to know that. But
for
if it
sure,
came
but
out,
I'm not defending it.
I'm
not defending it.
Yeah,
no.
Turns out Barack Obama was on the Lolita Express banging out 13-year-olds. I'm like, and over. We're done. Fuck that dude. But
yeah, and it's easy to say because there's no fucking
no
way that
fucking
happened.
No fucking way. No fucking way. Michelle Obama would have fucking put a chokehold, a fucking crucifix on that guy so quick. Are you kidding me? I mean, over.
Yeah, now, if something terrible comes out about Michelle, that'll be harder for me.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Again, you'd find out like she really doesn't like fruits and vegetables. Like, no. She hates tofu. My God.
We saw somebody with a pickup truck with a giant Trump flag on it driving by today. And my wife is like, I have never seen this for any other president. Like, I never, for anyone, yeah. I didn't see people, Barack Obama, you know, like.
No, it's because it's a cult, dude. It's a cult.
Yeah, it's a super culty thing. I go, yeah, I can't think of anybody that's been the case for any.
Not even Reagan, dude. Not even Reagan.
Yeah, like, at most, a bumper sticker. Like, who would you put a giant flag on your car for? And my wife goes, well, I mean, unless Michelle Obama runs, I don't see ever doing that.
Yeah. Then that would be weird, but
if she ran, apparently my wife is going to put a giant Michelle Obama flag on her car.
Obama! No, the other one! Yeah, I just, like, the idea of it is just, it's cult-like. It just is.
Yeah.
Like, there doesn't, and that's
literally anything.
Yeah, he can say anything, it doesn't matter. It's a fucking cult. Like, he's a buffoon. He's a buffoon.
I can't imagine liking somebody enough so that when you've got, what are we up to, 23 sexual assault allegations now? Yeah. You still defend that shit.
Yeah. Well, there's still people who defend R. Kelly. So what's the difference?
I know. I can't think of any. There is nobody that I like that much.
No.
Nobody. My best friend in the world. If you got 23, sexual assault allegations, you're not my best friend anymore. That's it.
Yeah, we're done. Fuck out of here, Micah. Yeah. You fucking gross piece of shit.
Yeah. If it were, like, one of my brothers, I have two brothers. I love them more than anyone else in this world, other than like my own wife and kids.
Ugh. Even Alex? One of them had. Even Alex?
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
That feels like a mistake.
I mean, obviously, I love him less than my other brother.
Yeah,
but,
no, okay, that makes
sense.
I
mean, yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, I absolutely love my brother. 100%. As weird as he is. If he had 23 sexual assault.
And dude, what the fuck is going on at your house?
You're gone, dude. You are gone.
Yeah. No, that's a problem. Like, what the hell are you up to?
That's my brother I used to talk to at that point. That's,
that's my brother. Like, oh no, we're still brothers. I mean, we're not brothers.
No.
Brothers. We're brothers, but not like how black guys say it.
Yeah, what happened to your brother? I don't know.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, but seriously.
Who? Amazing.
I don't understand the attachment that you have to somebody who does not give a fuck about you, by the way.
No, he doesn't. Again, I just don't understand that. Like, how did people in the farmland attach themselves to this rich blue blood asshole from New York?
No, I don't know.
Dude, have you ever seen a fucking salsa commercial? This guy is not your guy.
New York City.
They used to tell them to get a rope. They would kill New Yorkers because they didn't pick paste picante sauce. Are you fucking kidding me? You had a bet. You're deliberating on which salsa to use. Is a more nuanced, harder decision for people in that part of the country than president. They're like, I don't know, whatever. Oh, wait a minute. Pace Picante? Nah, fuck that. No New Yorkers for that. Amazing.
So, yes, to answer the question, if shit comes out about Bill Clinton being attached to this, I wouldn't think about it for a half a second.
Nope. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I would have one thought. Wow. Is Hillary going to go back to Rodham? That's it.
What? Oh, dude. Are you kidding me?
In a heartbeat, she would. Hillary Rodham. Boom. Like, gone. Out of here. Yo, she would 86 that motherfucker in a heartbeat. She would kick him out of a plane if they were on it when the news broke.
That's why I don't necessarily buy, you know, there have been some allegations against Bill Clinton that are pretty, pretty fucking rough. I don't necessarily buy any of them other than the consensual affairs. I feel like Hillary Clinton would kill that guy if he raped somebody.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's true. She would kill him in the way that she killed Vince Foster with her own hand.
Yeah, she's a murderer.
Everyone knows this. She's a dangerous person.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is a murderer, and she's also a very strong feminist. If she had a rapist under her roof,
I feel like she'd murder him.
Yeah, she'd slit that dude's throat 100%.
I mean, it's not the worst. It's not the worst thing that can happen.
Again, if conclusive evidence comes out, though, I have no problem tossing Bill Clinton.
Nope, not at all. So, all right, let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein a little bit, who is the reason why Alex Acosta is gone as Labor Secretary. Now, one, Alex Acosta's press conference.
Oh, yeah, congratulations to whoever is the acting Labor Secretary and we never will have a full-time one again.
Yeah, no, that party is over.
Because this is the Trump cabinet.
Yep.
And we're... Are we at 50% acting department heads right now?
No. We are over 50%.
We're over 50? Jesus.
For cabinet members or just like senior people? Because if it's senior people, it's over 50%.
No, for sure. I'm talking the actual cabinet. Have we hit half the cabinet is acting yet?
I would argue it's probably close. If it's not at 50%, it's close. It's probably 40%. Like, it's fucking nuts. So Jeffrey Epstein...
Who's still Ben Carson?
Yeah, Ben Carson's still there. He's just keeping
Elaine
a low profile.
Chao. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that was their argument that Trump's not racist because he has an Asian woman in his cabinet. I was like, okay. You have two minorities in your entire cabinet. Congrats. And one of them is mentally not there. Okay.
Yeah, and the other is Mitch McConnell's wife, who you gave that job as a favor.
Yeah, that's all it was. It's not because you think Elaine Chao is like the shit when it comes to transportation. She's a scumbag.
Dude, and honestly, yes, she is. But she's also like one of the only qualified people on that cabinet.
Yeah, no, she is. No, she's smart. She absolutely is smart. All right, so let's talk about Epstein a little bit.
Did she have that same job before or a similar one?
I think. So Epstein, they've raided his $77 million New York home, his Florida home. This dude is super loaded, but let's talk about some of the details that have come out over the last couple of days, which is just from since last week when he was arrested. Accused child sex trafficker.
By the way, I was wrong. She was the Secretary of Labor under George W. Bush.
Oh,
so
okay.
Now she's Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah, that's a step down. So Epstein, is willing to post bail of $100 million. According to his lawyer, the judge is like, not really sure I'm going to do this whole bail thing. So we won't find out. One, he should not get bail. He should stay right in
prison. You will never see him again.
I don't know because he's super rich, but he should never get bail. Yo, they found, where is the fucking details? They found a fake passport with in a safe that had his picture on it with a different name for fucking Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Wow.
They found in a locked safe, they found piles of cash, dozens of diamonds, as well as an expired passport dating to the 1980s from another country that has Epstein's photograph on it, but with a different name and a stated residence of Saudi Arabia. Which tells me that likely he was trafficking girls to Saudi Arabia. So, great. That's a classy fucking move. But that's probably the least shocking thing, considering it's the Saudis. They also found trove of lewd photos of young women.
If you change this from an interstate, sex trafficking operation to an international sex trafficking operation, that makes it worse somehow, even though it's the same horrible crime.
Yeah. It's like, it's just because you're willing to travel to do more dirt. Like, you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it doesn't necessarily make the crime worse, but like, if I sell cocaine to my next door neighbor, that's not as bad as if I sold cocaine to Jay.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
For some reason, that's worse.
Yeah. The second you cross state lines, man, you're fucking all the way up.
Yeah, no, that's extra bad.
Was it? So
still selling cocaine, right? Like, this is still the same crime, but no, it's...
Okay. I guess it's because of the jurisdiction of people who have to get involved. And then they're just like, well, that takes more of our time, so we're going to fucking throw the book at you. Just for being a pain in our ass.
Now we got to get the feds involved.
Yeah. So the other part of this whole thing is that right after the Miami Herald story came out, which we linked to last week, right after that, Jeffrey Epstein sent two separate payments to possible co-conspirators, and I put possible in quotes, two payments of $350,000. And his lawyer said that they were an act of generosity. Really? Really? Is my head made of cabbage? What the fuck are you talking about? You just kicked out 700 grand to two people who you were definitely hanging out and fucking kids to basically like keep your mouth shut. So they, of course, found out about that. The judge was like, those are not acts of generosity. Knock it the fuck off. The judge says, quote, the idea that Mr. Epstein was feeling particularly generous to his former colleagues days after an exclusive Miami Herald article about him is just not credible. Like, yeah, no shit. In a court filing on last Friday, prosecutors said Epstein is worth at least $500 million, and he has a single account that contained more than $100 million. There are women who are now literally like out there testifying, saying like, this guy did this shit to me. How long before they start naming names, you think?
It depends. Like, if he feels like he can... if he feels like he can lighten his own sentence, I feel like he'll probably throw some people under the bus. But what's going to be interesting is the when the victims start talking.
No, that's who I mean, right? Like,
yeah, they have there's no reason for them not to talk.
Yeah,
right.
And the one woman said there were politicians involved. Like,
yeah,
she said that.
Yeah,
name names, sweetheart. Names. Yeah. Put that shit all the way out there. I want to go on television and be like, this guy is a fucking child rapist and I was raped by him and politician XYZ who's probably the president. Like, I want him to say it because I want to see the Republican Party try to defend that shit. I do. I want them to do it.
We know a few big names that have already been wrapped up in this and accused of doing shit, which is Trump, Alan Dershowitz, and Prince Andrew.
Right.
Which are already big enough names. But yeah, let's throw some more people down.
Yeah. And
I'm curious to see it.
Yeah. And by the way, Dershowitz was his lawyer. Was Epstein's lawyer. And they were like, they asked him this week. They were like, did you ever get massages at Epstein's place? He's like, yeah, but I kept my pants on. I'm like, yo, you are not helping yourself at all. You're not. Apparently he had like some sort of teaching class or whatever at Harvard. They were like, nah, you're done. Like, fuck out of here. That's what I've heard. Is that they basically cut ties
in trouble. Yeah. And Prince Andrew looks like he's pretty well fucked.
Nothing will happen.
Trump's gonna Trump. I don't know.
it will be interesting to see what happens if he gets openly accused. I mean, he has already been, but just openly accused of raping a 14-year-old girl. Like, dude, you could. I mean, look, I don't think it's acceptable, but I can understand why people don't buy this idea of like, oh, did Trump grab some woman's ass? Oh, I don't believe it. He's rich and they're trying to get his money. But a 13-year-old girl is a different story, man. And we're not talking about, oh, you might have grazed a woman's ass and try to pretend that you didn't mean it. You're talking about rape, holding someone down and raping them. And I think a woman going on TV and saying that, yo, you a wild dude if you go on television after and be like, no, I believe Trump. Like, you're a wild boy, man. Like, you run your career on that shit if you want to. I'm not in the business of defending pedophiles. Like, no. I don't care what song R. Kelly's got coming out. Go to jail. No. And look, here's the thing. What's fucked is Epstein took such detailed information about like keeping records of, you know, having the flight manifest and all this other shit. It's not hard to link this shit together, right? Like, it's not just, right. It's not going to just be he said, she said. There's going to be some evidence that's going to at least point in a direction and be like, well, she said this happened. And like, yeah, right around that time is when you were hanging out with him. And like, here's some information. Because if there's any text or anything between Epstein and Trump or Epstein and any of these guys, nah, yo, that should be a wrap for anybody. I don't want to hear anything about, oh, this is too divisive. He's got to go. He's got to go. And if you defend that shit, you're a fucking, you're just as bad as a pedophile at that point to me. So the world does not need you. Please walk yourself directly into traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll for see. Sure. I mean, every day there's new shit that comes out about the Epstein stuff. I'm riveted by it just because it is unbelievable how insane it is.
Yeah, and he was rich and powerful and connected. So there's really, you know, it absolutely has the potential to implicate two U.S. presidents, which is bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's crazy. Nuts. That is that then becomes the biggest scandal
in American history.
Political history. Absolutely.
Yeah. And look, it is what it is. Whoever's got to fall has got to fall, man. But I'm not trying to hear some bullshit. Like, I find it crazy that Republicans already are like, you know, Bill Clinton, like, based on the same information that you've heard about Trump, you're like, well, no, Trump couldn't have done it. But Bill Clinton definitely did. I'm like, it's going to be real hard to make that argument, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's real hard.
Has Bill Clinton been credibly accused of any of that?
Yeah.
he's been credibly accused of hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, which is not a good look, admittedly.
Right.
But there are court documents with Trump's name on them.
Yeah. And look, that story came out and people were just like,
fake news, fake court filing.
Right.
Have you read it? It's horrifying.
Yeah, and it's detailed as shit, man.
Yeah, it is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, so we shall see. We shall see. All right, let's talk about these nationwide raids that were happening this weekend. They were a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Trump announced that ICE was going to do nationwide raids in all these major cities, Baltimore being one of them, which I had to tell some people that I know, like, keep your head on a swivel. And so all this was going to happen. ICE was going to come and like bust doors down and fucking take people out. And they tried this before and they didn't do anything. And it turns out they didn't do anything this time either. So
ICE is actually, like, as much as Trump wishes they were powerful enough, we're going to find 12 million illegal aliens in the country and throw them all out. ICE is 20,000 people.
Yeah,
and that includes a lot of, like, people that work at desks.
Right.
That is not 20,000 jackbooted thugs running around from door to door. They're a fairly small agency, given that they have to cover the whole country.
Right.
And, yeah, what's the estimate? It is something like 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States. You don't have enough people.
No. Like,
you don't. You don't. You could give the order right now. I'm going to deport all 11 million. Okay. With who?
All of them. A self-deportation. Just go to your local deport station and just leave. Like, no.
Right.
No. Like, it's a silly thing. It's not designed to do anything but cause chaos in the minds of people who are the most vulnerable. And it's also simply designed to rev up his base. Right? Because they see the story that Trump's throwing raids this weekend, baby. Woo! Let's do this. More fucking Bud Light. And then they go on about their day, right? So they just assume it's happening. They don't read fucking Monday morning where people are like, it never happened, dude. Like, they didn't do anything. So it's the narrative is out there. So when he goes to his like feel good rallies, he could be like, "We're doing ICE raids," and they're just like, "ICE raids, yeah, tear families apart. This is awesome. I love Jesus Christ's message of peace. Woo!" But nothing ever happens. I do fear that what they will do is they will keep doing this and can't, you know, and not really doing it and saying they're going to do it and not really doing it, saying they're not going to do it. And then when people think, oh yeah, you're not going to really do this, they start actually doing them. That's my fear. But I also realize that this administration is incredibly incompetent. So it's probably that they just think that they were going to do them. And then they talk to the guys at ICE and they're like, there's six of us, dude. Like, and we don't work weekends.
Yeah. And they're not getting, like, it would be very helpful if they had the assistance of local law enforcement, because if you're a federal agency, it's probably not super easy to just go wander around a city and we're going to find them illegal aliens without help. Like,
where the hell is the local Home Depot? All
right. Right. Like that happened in Baltimore out there. What is Jack Young's? Is he acting mayor?
He's the acting mayor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, oh, we're not helping you.
Yeah. No, fuck off. Fuck right off.
Yeah. So I just got to walk around and like, what? You can't just go start demanding everyone show you their papers. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
So
this isn't Arizona. Knocking off.
Right. Yeah, so what can you do other than just scare the shit out of people, which is probably the point?
Yeah, I find it interesting. I mean, it's just more of his, you know, just bluster. Like, oh, we're going to do it. You better, Mexicans better look out. Like, I'm going to still go get tacos, so go fuck yourself. Like, yeah. So, like, you just have to realize that a lot of this has more to do with ramping up his base for 2020 than it has to do with actual policy or anything he wants to do. You know, more on that later, right? It's just, I mean, having Mike Pence go and visit the concentration camps like fucking Goebbels this past weekend, it's not designed for anything but for his base to see the images and they're like, oh, Mike Pence is such a man. Look at him looking at those immigrants. This is awesome. That's all it is. Mike Pence, whether he thinks it's disgusting or not, he's not going to say anything because it's all about getting reelected. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's just a
it's
photo
show
op.
And pageantry. It's
right.
Yeah, photo op. Like you said, it's like stepping over the DMZ in North Korea.
Right.
He has not accomplished, he has not moved forward, you know, anything as far as North Korean denuclearization. Not a damn thing. But he's gotten some pictures taken that look like he's doing something.
Right.
And that's all you need. Because, you know, they'll blast it on Fox News and you can be, oh, look at him. He's out there accomplishing stuff.
What did he do exactly? I don't know. But not like some bookish nerd. He just went there and kicked their ass. Like, no, he didn't do anything. He didn't run across the border with a gun Rambo style. No. He was like, hey, can I stand over here? And they were like, yeah, it's fine. We're not going to shoot you. Maybe. And then he did it, and he survived. And then he's like, look how awesome I am. That's all. That's all it is.
Boom. First president set foot in North Korea. I did it. There.
Yeah.
Like, okay. How did that advance the whole denuclearization thing? Oh, you know, we'll get there.
We're almost there. We're 90%. 90% of it is really just getting across the border.
Yeah.
The other 10%, I mean, I let the bookworms deal with that. You know, diplomacy.
Right.
Starving people, death camps. I mean, whatever. Like, I don't really have time for that. Quite busy.
It's all for show because that's all some people need.
Yeah. And look, I think it says a lot of things, but I think the one thing it does say is that his people are susceptible to just bullshit. Like, they're not,
dude,
they're
they
not that
literally
bright.
I am not making this up. You can look it up if you want. On Fox and Friends, when they showed Trump walking over the DMZ and setting foot into North Korea, they played All I Do Is Win.
By DJ Khaled?
Yes.
Wow.
On Fox and Friends, All I Do Is Win, 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 no matter what. Yeah. Yeah. of Trump going, I'm going to step my fat foot in North Korea. Boom, did it. Diplomacy.
That is amazing. And
yeah.
Utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
Wow.
As is this entire presidency. It's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, that's wow. That's really, really insane.
All of it is. It's nuts. Do you ever just like forget about it for a second and then go, wait a minute, wait, is Donald Trump? Is like the president?
Is the real life president of the United States of America. We've like literally, become morons.
Yeah, and I you know, when people say, you know, oh, it's real life idiocracy. No, we've gone past that because I think President Camacho would have been a better president.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fact. That's a fact. I mean, he was a former wrestler. Like, yeah, no, this guy had it. Like, he was down. He'll pop his pecs. I mean, this guy, like, what couldn't he do, really, if you think about it? All right, let's move on from there. Let's talk about more racism. Look, before I get into this story, I want to use this story as a lesson, as a teachable moment. This story in and of itself is why what I'm going to preface it with is dumb, right? So last week, Brad and I discussed the infighting between Nancy Pelosi and AOC and, you know, the other three progressive, the squad, if you will.
The squad, yes.
Ayanna Pressley,
Ilhan
Omar.
It was stupid to do that in public.
Right, and Rashida Tlaib. Right. That was dumb. I still stand by it being dumb. I think it was dumb for Nancy Pelosi to say what she said. I also think it was dumb for AOC to bring up race when she did not actually think it was about race. I thought that was a really bad move. I think that's a young people mistake, right? Like, we're going to mention that we're people of color. It's fine. But when you do that, know that it changes the entire conversation. And Harris jumped onto that because Harris is still trying to ride high on white people ain't shit from the last debate. And I thought that was a mistake, right? So
no, it does. And they are four women of color, but they are also represent.
Yeah. It's
the more progressive.
Right.
Side
that's why Nancy
party.
Pelosi has an issue with you. It's not because you're black, Latino, or, you know, South Asian. Like it's just not, that's not it. Right. Like
right.
I said, I agree with all four of them, but they're a pain in Nancy Pelosi's ass. Right. Rightfully so. But you can't expect her to just be like, she's not going to just lay down for you. Like, she's not.
Right. And there needs to be a good faith way to disagree with people.
Right.
Which Republicans never do.
Right.
But and a lot of Democrats don't do, honestly. And if I was again, I don't know. This is me just speculating. But from my assumptions about Nancy Pelosi, if she's hand-waving those four away, it's because they are young and progressive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, because they're women of color.
What do these new chicks know? I've been here since 1947, and I was young and idealistic too once, but now I'm an old battle axe and I know.
Right. Let me sit down and tell you some shit about my day.
Halls.
Right. No, I mean, that's actually, I think that's what it is. I don't think it's a people of color thing. And I think immediately after AOC said it, I think she regretted saying it, which is why in that interview when they asked her, like, do you think she has racial animus against you? And she was like, no, I don't think it's that. Yeah, that's why you don't say that. Because it immediately gets twisted.
In the same statement, she took it back
immediately
from what she said a couple sentences earlier.
Right. Like, and that's why you don't say it.
How that came off.
Right. Yeah. And that's why you don't mention that, right? It's not that you don't talk about, you know, identity politics or racial politics, but you talk about them when that's what it really is. Like, so people don't say it's like you're crying wolf and all that other shit. So all that being said,
Of all of the incredibly valid criticisms of Nancy Pelosi, not to defend Nancy Pelosi here, because what the fuck, lady?
Right. Right. You are fucking up royally right now. Right. But it allowed Nancy Pelosi to get a win off of them on that, I thought.
Right.
And that was a mistake.
I don't know. And you had this discussion in our group with a lot of people who felt the other way. And that's perfectly valid too, by the way. If you read it as, you know, if you read it as no, she is picking on these women of color, she's defending she is an agent of white supremacy.
I guess.
Sure. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I mean, hell, I benefit from white supremacy every day, so what do I know?
Right. I mean, look, does she maybe have some inherent bias, you know, just because she is an old white battle axe from the 1910s? the early 19-aughts? Yeah, maybe, probably, definitely. But that doesn't mean that every criticism of a person of color is couched in that. And I think you do yourself a disservice to just assume that's what it is all the time. Like,
especially since there's so much of that that they do get that is incredibly valid from the other side.
Right, right.
I don't, like, the people backing Nancy Pelosi up, like the other more centrist Dems, are like the older Southern Black delegation from the Democratic Party.
Yeah, fuck those racist pieces of shit. They hate women of color. Wait, what? Right. And again,
you racist ass Martha Fudge.
You bitch. Although she kind of had a lot of homophobic things. But anyway. Anyway.
Again, she's an older Black church lady. There's gonna be a bit of that.
it's kind of their thing.
Just a little bit, just a tad.
So, like, in that whole thing again, I really like AOC and I really like that squad as a team. I think they're fucking dynamic. I think they're super smart. I don't like all the Justice Democrat folks around them necessarily. But I like the four of them, and I think they have really good ideas, and I think they're bold and they're strong and they're tough. I am not a person who is sycophantic to them that they cannot be criticized, because I think that is also becoming a real problem. And when you start to create a cult of personality around a politician, you get big fucking flags hanging off of pickup trucks by morons not paying attention. And that's not a good thing. You should be able to go, I really, really like that person, but you know what? That thing she did, I really didn't care for. So, look, Maureen Dowd, who I think is a despicable fucking person in politics, I don't care for her at all. She wrote an op-ed for the New York Times that was actually, I thought, pretty fucking spot on, actually. And again, I don't fuck with Maureen Dowd at all. Like, it's Peggy Noonan and Maureen Dowd, one and two, as two conservative women I can't fucking stand when it comes to, like, political commentary. Peggy Noonan being absolutely number one. But she made a good point about, like, this idea. You cannot just take every criticism of you as being, or everything you don't agree with as being 100% incorrect, which is what she's seeing with AOC and sort of that squad. And I agree with that to an extent, not super, super a lot, but I understand her point. But the thing that she made, a point that she made in that article that I thought was really fucking good, was she's like, look, my biggest fear after 2016, or excuse me, after 2018, was this idea of having Nancy Pelosi, a Speaker of the House, who is a super experienced person who can whip votes and is really fucking smart at what she does, and her teaming up with fucking AOC, who's got all the progressive wing behind her. That's a fucking nightmare for Republicans. Are you serious? And she's like, but instead they're fighting each other in public. What the fuck are you two idiots doing? And she's right. Sit down in a room and get together and figure out how the four of you can talk to her, and you figure out how to work the back channels on this shit. If you don't, you will rip the party apart. You will rip it apart.
Yeah.
And it's the Bernie Bros versus the fucking Clintonites. It's the same thing over and over again.
It's just, it's not helpful.
It's not helpful. Right.
At a time when we don't need division. And granted, we tend to be the more divided party. You know, we
Big tent. Big tent.
It's hilarious that Republicans call themselves the Big Tent because you have to be in lockstep over there.
Yeah.
Like they they literally threw Tommy Lahren off of the Blaze for being like, well, I mean, I'm a racist piece of shit, but I'm pro-choice. And they're like, nope, you gotta go. And
yeah. Yeah. No, that
baby murderer.
She wants to kill children.
Right. And what the fuck else did the Blaze have going on for it?
Zero. They burned their so stupid. They burned their own fucking bridge. Things.
Right. But we have everything from like
We have pro-lifers. We had a fucking pro-lifer run for VP. I mean, he's pro-choice, you know, politically, but he's a pro-lifer.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's room for that where it's like, look, I personally don't believe in this, but I'm not going to try to make it illegal.
Right.
Which that's fine. That's a fine view to have, I think.
Right. Exactly. I don't actually have a problem with that. Like, you should be able to separate your own personal views versus your politics on some issues.
Yeah, I think that's actually a more common view than people give it credit for, which is, look, I don't care for abortion at all. I would never have one, but I don't think it should be banned.
Right. I mean, that used to, it's not now, but that used to be my view. You know, truth be told, like, I would rather people just not do it, but I would also rather there be systems in place so people didn't have to, right? Like,
right. Yeah, that's it too. Is it? I wish it didn't have to come to that, but it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be fucking banned. What do you? I live in reality, dude. You can't just like, oh, I just want the world to be candies and rainbows. And if I just put my fingers in my ear and close my eyes, it'll just all work out. Like, no, that's how Republicans think. Like, no, reality still happens. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, we hope it doesn't happen, but give people access to do things that are healthy and smart. So, yeah. All right.
But we've got everything from Joe Manchin to like Bernie Sanders, right? Like we have a big tent.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucking big tent. They've got everything from Lindsey Graham to Saxby Chambliss. Like it's not that different.
Well, look what happens when you're like, I don't really care for this Trump fellow, and you're gone.
Yeah.
Jeff Flake, gone.
Fucking Justin Amash.
Justin Amash, you could not find a more conservative dickbag than Justin Amash, and they ran him out of the party.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
for knowing how to read.
Yeah, what an asshole.
He's now an independent, and the fucking, God bless him, the Libertarian Party's like, you should run for president as a Libertarian. Okay.
Shut up. You guys don't even believe in seatbelts, you fucking dorks. So, all right. So I say all that. We brought up the infighting story. I say all that because it's stupid because of this story. Donald Trump goes out this weekend and he's like, those four bitches, if they don't love America, they need to go back to where they came from, which of course is racist speak. By the way, racists are such cowards. Just say what you want to say. Like, why are you couching in a bunch of bullshit? Just say it. Just say it. You fucking chump. Just say it. But it's just, this is racist speak for, why don't you go back to Africa because, you know, two of them are black, or, you know, Rashida Tlaib, why don't you go back to where you came from over there? AOC, why don't you go back to where you came from over there? Puerto Rico or wherever. So that's the idea, right? Here's the thing.
Should be noted that other than Ilhan Omar, all of them were born in the districts they represent.
That is correct. Right. But like, you better go back to Brooklyn. But I do. that's who I represent. Okay.
Well, she was actually born in the Bronx, AOC. Rashida Tlaib was born in Detroit. God bless her.
Yeah, I mean, she clearly was born in Detroit. You ever heard the mouth on that woman? Like, she don't give a fuck. Sounds like a Detroit born and raised.
Anna Presley was born in Boston. Like, okay, go back to your district and hold a rally or something.
Yeah. That's, by the way, that's what they should do. Be like, yeah, he told us to come back. We're here. What's up? Fuck you, Trump. So he says this, of course.
Ilhan Omar's been here since she was 10, by the way.
Yeah, well, she's clearly a traitor, and she hates Jews and is a part of ISIS or whatever.
Right. It's not like she just showed up.
I just got here. Can I be a congresswoman? Yes. So, of course, everyone in the party has united behind the squad to say that this shit is unacceptable. And this is why that previous story about them infighting is fucking dumb. This is your enemy. You know how it's like a fucking, like a bomb where it says point towards enemy? Yeah, this is it. He is the bad guy in the room. Get all of your bullshit out of the way behind closed doors. United front and go out there and jointly kick the shit out of this guy. This is why all this infighting is so fucking dumb. You have bigger fish to fry than whether or not the four of you voted for this fucking bill that's likely not gonna fucking do anything significant one way or the other. I know, oh, it's border funding, whatever. It's not for the wall. Trump is gonna use it for whatever he's gonna use it for. Look, kids are still in cages. While I think they shouldn't have voted for a period, those kids are still in cages and they weren't going to fucking take them out. So, you need to figure out a different way to handle that. That being said, this is why that infighting is completely pointless from both of their perspectives. Because Nancy Pelosi came out an hour or two after Trump said this shit. She condemned it and everything else. Look, you're back on the same team. You see how this shit works? You're on the same fucking team, man. Squad up, all of you. This is an easy fucking win. This is an easy win. So just for me, for my money, this is why that unity is important. Because that guy that you're fighting against in the White House is a number one piece of shit. He is a racist. He's not even pretending anymore. Go back to where you came from. Are you fucking, what are you, six? This is insane. So, yeah, stop fighting, man. Just get together. Just stop fighting. It is pointless. Now you have managed to move the conversation to this. Stay on this. I saw Bernie Sanders came out. Oh, I think Nancy Pelosi's being a little too hard on, these four ladies. Shut the fuck up, Bernie. Shut up. Stop making this about you. Shut up. Every political or every candidate who is running for president on the Dem side, stay the fuck out of that argument between AOC and Nancy Pelosi. Do not pick sides. Stay away from that shit. All of them. If Warren came out tomorrow and was like, I agree with AOC, shut up. Just shut the fuck up. Because all it does is create factions in the party. And that is going to blow up in your face later. Shut up. This is the shit you need to be united on. Period. That's it. So, I don't know. The whole go back to where you came from shit really pissed me off. Because it's disgusting. But I have to say the response from AOC and the rest of them was really good. It was quite good.
Yeah. That's great. If you have a chance to watch it, go do it. And obviously you have time. You're listening to a podcast. You can watch a video. Jesus. What are you doing not watching right. that? Listener. but yeah, so the only infighting we need to see needs to be by the way above the belt and in the primary, and it needs to be those people trying to prove why they're the best person.
Yep,
to
run. Absolutely.
We don't need side bullshit.
No, there's enough going on.
There's enough. Yeah, there's enough. And we're gonna see it because it's gonna come down to two or three or four people, and people are going to, naturally gravitate towards one candidate or another, and we're going to end up with wings of the party again. And I don't know that we are smart enough to have learned our lesson.
I would argue we are not. Nope. I would argue we are not smart enough. But we'll see. We shall see. We shall see indeed. But it's fascinating, man. It's super, super fascinating. But I just want them to all just get together. Just get together, man. You're more powerful together than you are apart. And I think they don't realize it, but I think if we stop doing this, like, if you compromise, you're a sellout kind of viewpoint, or, you know, any level of like having it your way is a loss and all this other stuff. If you stop doing that and you start to come together on things, I think you'll see that party move in directions that are unstoppable. They are. Like, if you can get them to all kind of get on board and like, this is the direction that we want to run in. If you can all get on board, you can win the Senate. You can get people enthusiastic and you can win the Senate and you can start to fight back. And if you win the Senate and then you get people hyped, you can win the presidency. And if you're all on board to move forward together, you can have 4 to 8 years of absolute fucking progressive, smart policy getting passed and kicking ass and taking names. But you have to get on board with each other. If you don't, and you're divided, you will not win the Senate. You will not win the White House. And then you are back to the same shitty nonsense for 4 more years of this. You have to shut the fuck up in public and stop fighting and get together. That is the only way the Democratic Party ever wins. That's it. Like, Republicans are really good about coalescing behind one person for good or bad. Look, in a way, we need to learn how to do that at some point. We have to. Not be sycophantic morons about it, but we have to learn how to come together. And if we don't, we're going to screw ourselves. So, yeah. Any other parting words before we get out of here?
Yeah, I would just, if you're listening, this is a message for some of the other people in what I think I'll call the Swalwell zone. You're... So Swalwell, he sort of saw that he was not gaining traction. He wasn't going to make the next debate because Steve Bullock qualified and is doing better than him now. Bullock got in pretty late, but believe it or not, he's a popular guy in his part of the country. And so Swalwell wasn't even going to be on the next debate, and he went, all right, look, I gotta go focus on, obviously, I'm not going to win this. I made a debate stage. I got to talk about gun control. I got to call Joe Biden old to his face. That was great.
Give me the reins, bitch.
That was his highlight. Bitch, you're old. And
you want to fight, old man?
And,
let's do it.
Yeah, but he went back. He's going back to his district, and he's going to run for re-election and go back to the House. And everybody that's got a job like that, like, you know, your Tim Ryans and your Seth Moultons, you know, those type of guys, just go focus on that race.
Just go
back and try to get reelected to the House, because we could use you in the House for sure.
Yeah, we absolutely could.
Yeah, I've talked to, like, Tim Ryan. It's important to have a Rust Belt Democrat in there who's looking out for the interests of working people in Ohio. I think that's an important guy to have in the House. Seth Moulton, being a guy who's a combat veteran and is looking out for the interests of veterans and people in the military now, that's an important voice in the House too. I think they should realize that this shit is not working and just go back and focus on their House races.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I appreciate, you know, you coming by, but no, go away.
Yeah, no, we don't need you. It's fine. It's fine.
We don't need you. We don't need half these people.
Right. And like it's okay to leave.
If you haven't gained any traction, you know, and you know, I would say, like, Julian Castro for sure went from a lower tier guy to an upper tier guy with his performance. I think Tulsi Gabbard did something for herself, even though I'm not a fan.
Ugh.
But I'm not going to say she didn't, you know.
I'll say that.
Really, she you know.
She stinks.
If you did a top 12 out of the 24, she's in it, you know.
Congratulations. You're in the top 12. Oh, what number are you? 12.
I'm 12. Yeah, if you cut this thing in half, though, she's in the top half for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
So whatever. But again, you got a house race too. but yeah, just if you're in that bottom 12, what are you doing?
Yeah. Go sit down somewhere.
What are you doing?
Yeah. You're wasting your fucking time. And you're wasting hours.
Wasting time. You're wasting people's money too. There are people who, for whatever reason, are donating to your campaigns. I can't understand it, but they are. These are usually small dollar donations coming from people who want to help, right? They're like, man, I really want a Democrat to win, and for some fucking reason I want it to be Seth Moulton. And I am donating my money to help Seth Moulton win. And that's just a waste. You're just lighting that money on fire. There's no reason for all these people to be running.
No.
When there's so many people who aren't going to make it. Like, the best thing you can do to help your party and to help your country is to drop out and let people coalesce behind somebody who actually has a fucking chance.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Not that a long shot wasn't worth it. Look at Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. But he got his numbers up a lot earlier. A lot earlier.
Yeah, but he was, I mean, dude, the mayor of fucking South Bend, Indiana, running for president is as long of a long shot as it gets, and he's now a serious contender.
Yeah, he's like number
five. I understand why people would want to try to do that, but there's not that many people who get to do that.
Right, exactly.
So if you're not catching fire, go away and let people start coalescing around somebody who can actually win this thing.
100%. I agree. All right. That's it for us.
Oh, and for fuck's sake, nobody else get in.
Oh, yeah. Tom Steyer's like,
what the hell?
We'll see. We'll see this week.
Dude, I didn't even bother committing his name to memory, but some other fucking jabroni decided he was running too.
Seems rude.
I'm a former two-term House member. And shut up. Go away. What are you doing?
He's going to make a surge at the end.
Yeah, you're going to come in now?
Yeah.
Now?
We had a debate already.
Coming in now. Yeah. When nobody's heard of you and you're coming in now. Really? That's bananas.
Well, desperately trying to get noticed. Just desperately trying to get noticed.
Whatever. Yeah. Go. No, stop it. Stop it.
What was it?
All of you, stop it.
I'll end it on this. I saw a meme. It was like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you don't have to run for president. It's pretty fucking hilarious. All right. That is it for us.
Cut it down to like, what, eight? Is eight good? Is that a good number?
I think eight's good. I think eight is good.
Let's cut it down to eight.
Yeah.
I want to cut down to eight by next week.
Yeah. Top.
You're not in the top eight.
Top eight.
Go away.
Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here, Tom Steyer.
Yeah. Yeah. I want the Democratic Party to be like a MySpace page. You get a top eight, and that's it. Everybody else, fuck off.
That's fair. That's actually fair. I actually don't have a problem with that. We can be forced to listen to your shitty music during the debates as well.
That's okay.
Like, oh, they really like Len. That band was cool. Smash Mouth, you say. Wow, great.
MySpace. We all have to be like half-ass HTML coders to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, that spinning baby from fucking Ally McBeal. I hate this debate, and I hate everything.
It's a spinning marijuana leaf, bro.
I used to think I was so cool because I could do shit like that. I wasn't. I was not cool at all. My first website was the worst. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Look Forward.
Talk to you later.
Bye.